Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com. Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, it's another week of Comics Talk Comedy. No Jesse this week. He's got his parents in town, but we do have our guest on time, Colin Dodge, everybody.
How's it going, everybody?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah? Do you have any shows this week?
Me and Bijan produced a show on Wednesdays now at the Palace.
Okay.
I hosted that show, and that was a lot of fun.
How was the turnout?
Good. It was like 20 people, but it's like the second week that we put it on.
Okay.
And we don't really bring a lot. It's not like a bringer show, so
right.
We got to do all the promotion ourselves. So
you had 20 and they were laughing people?
Yeah, laughing. It was great. Like, everybody did really well. We had Riley Heff, Chip Nicholson, Atif Myers was the headliner.
Who's Riley Heff?
Riley Heff is a guy, yeah, he does a lot of open mics and a lot of shows around here. He's really funny.
He's a local guy?
Local guy, yeah.
Never seen him.
Oh, yeah, no, he's funny. I like him a lot.
That's good. Is he new?
I don't know. I would say sort of, but I don't really know how long he's been doing it, but he's funny.
Okay.
He's been coming up a lot, and a lot of his new stuff I really like.
Well, that's good.
So
just up Wednesday, and then did you host the Palace open mic?
Yeah, hosted the open mic.
How's it going since they moved it to Tuesday?
It's been better. Yeah. It's better. It's better not having to compete with the Madhouse open mic,
mm-hmm.
because it used to be everybody would need to get up and then split, so there's nobody, you know,
right,
really hanging out or doing
so anything. Tuesday, is Palace the only open mic now?
It is now. Peabody's, I guess, closed down.
Okay.
I don't know really what happened with that.
But I don't think you guys are really competition with them.
No, yeah, it was great because we would just go to that afterwards.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's good. I think I did, I went up a good amount. I've been to, I've kind of been following your posts as well, that you're kind of getting reinvigorated,
yeah.
If that's the word in
yeah,
comedy.
Yeah, reinvigorated, yeah. I am. I was in a rut. I just host the open mic. I don't write a lot. I book a bunch of shows. So
okay.
I like was not feeling good. Then Wednesday, that show was a lot of fun. And now I'm like, all right.
Yeah. For me, like the last few months, I haven't really been doing, like it was like for a while, like 20 shows a month,
mm-hmm.
or at least 20. And then for a while, like last month I did 17, but January and December it was like 10.
Yeah.
So that's really low for me. So
yeah.
Like what I did is I went through some old notebooks and started reworking like older stuff that I wrote to like see if I can make that work now. And then like that really sparked me. So
yeah,
I've been doing it. I tried to do on Monday. I tried to do 3, but I was at Heart Lounge. Have you been there yet?
No, I'm doing that later in the month.
Okay. The Saturday show.
Yeah.
I popped in. They're doing open mic on Mondays. But the timing didn't, cause I went to Lestat's first to try to get a spot at Lestat's and I got like a 9:40 spot at Lestat's. So I went over to Heart, but by the time I went up over to Heart, I wouldn't have had time. I'm a big gym guy. Like I try to go to the gym every day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I chose gym over Heart Lounge.
Probably work out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because I was up 10th and it was basically just comics in there. So I was thinking, wow, they'll probably all leave by the time I go up. So it's probably. So I went to the gym and then I went to the Madhouse and did the Madhouse open mic. And I've been doing that the last couple of weeks. And there's been a little bit of a crowd there that sticks around after the show, which is a weird thing to have the open mic after a show.
Yeah, it is. It's really good if you go up first.
Yeah.
Like I got to go up after Billy Bonnell once and that was fun.
Right.
But then like right after that, everybody leaves.
Yeah, that's what happened a few. I got there at like 9:15. So, but there's still a decent amount of people.
Yeah.
But when I went, a couple of weeks ago, it was Ryan Hicks and he walked like 20 and then Shane walked like 15 and then Jake walked like 10. So by the time, but they were still fun.
That is the worst part about having it after a show though, is that you physically see people leave and decide to leave after you.
Yeah.
Which is not usually how it goes for any show.
Right, yeah. It is weird to feel. Yeah, I just walked half the crowd.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Even though you did well.
Exactly.
You know? So that's random. But you can understand people not wanting to be there anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
That's what I always say to people. I always am like, they were going to leave at one point anyway.
Right.
Just happened to be after you. But some people, it hurts. It hurts either way.
So. Yeah, I mean, I did a show in New York where I walked 3 separate people because they thought the show was going to be something else.
Wow.
So they come down to a show and it was only like 7 people in there. So when you walk half the crowd, that can hurt.
That can hurt, yeah.
But it's whatever. It happens. Tuesday I did the Comedy Store with, it was like a bringer show with Rick Martinez.
Okay.
And I had asked Jonathan Bird, because I work most Tuesdays there, so I asked him to be on the show, and he's like, sure, I'll give you 7 to 10 minutes. And then I get to the show, and he comes to me, he's like, yeah, I'm getting pressure to take comics off the show. So I didn't bring anybody, but it's like, whatever, I didn't plan on bringing him. But there was like 80 people, and he was like, yeah, the turnout's not that great. I'm like, there's 80 people. Why?
Yeah, 80 people's pretty good.
Yeah, so basically he was like, I don't know if I can put you up. He ends up putting me up for like 3 minutes, like at the beginning of the show.
That's almost worse than like not getting to go up, almost.
Yes and no. I mean, it was a really good crowd, so I was happy I did the 3 minutes. You know, because those bringer crowds are so good because they're low expectations. So if you are somewhat funny, you know, you're going to do well. So I did that on Tuesday, and then last night I did Winston's, and it was actually okay. It was a drunk crowd last night. So
yeah, isn't it usually?
No, it's actually been really good this year.
But everybody's been behaving this year.
Well, I wouldn't say that's always like that, but you know, I got there at 6:30, and there was already a group of people that are visibly drunk already.
All right.
But they sat in the front, which most people don't sit in the front. They kind of hang out back.
Yeah.
So they wanted to be a part of the show, which that'll happen sometimes.
Yeah.
But I did jokes, and I felt I did all right. And then Dave Wright went up, and Brian Faust was the other headliner. So it was a fun little show.
Yeah, I'd like to make it out to Winston's more, but I work at the Palace.
Yeah, you work on Fridays.
So I work every Friday and Saturday.
And Saturday, too.
Yeah.
But you've been doing your backdoor show?
Yeah, the backdoor show. the worst named show ever. But, yeah, we've been doing that. We have that one tonight.
Okay.
And that's been fun. It's hit or miss. That one, you really have to get people who can bring people.
Okay.
Otherwise, it doesn't really...
Yeah, because the Palace doesn't help you promote it at all.
Doesn't help me promote it at all, and I don't know. I don't make any money off of it. So
right, but you're on the clock at least?
Yeah, I'm on the clock. So I get $9 an hour to do that show.
Oh, so and the show goes, what, an hour and a half?
I try to squeeze it into like a little less than that. Because I try to get it over with before the show in the main room ends.
Before it ends.
Yeah.
But you guys both start at 8?
They start at 7:30 and we start at 8. Okay. So we should, I don't know. I don't know.
Can you hear the other show? Because I remember when I used to teach the class, you can hear the other
They
show.
Built a door. They built another door. Okay. So you can't really hear it. Now they do shows in the back room all the time. Like P-Man ran a show back there and there was like 80 people in that back room.
Oh my God.
It was ridiculous. Like you couldn't even squeeze waitresses in and out of there to turn.
Right.
Yeah. It was insane.
He can still bring a lot of people.
Yeah, especially on a Saturday now that he runs it in there. It's like...
And he's trying to do a show every Saturday at 8 now, huh?
Maybe he is. I don't know. I didn't hear that. But I know he's doing every second Saturday, I think.
Well, not P-Man, but like the Palace is having a show.
Oh, yeah, basically. Yeah, we have a Saturday, my show, P-Man's show, and then I think Jen Navarro is running a show there.
Yeah, I saw that. So.
And then I think Dan Bublitz is going to run a late show on those Saturdays, too.
Jeez.
So, yeah, we're doing a lot of comedy at the
Palace. Is the new place to be.
It really is.
Were you involved in the festival?
You know, by way as an employee.
Oh, so you didn't, like, enter it or anything?
No, I didn't enter. I haven't really been doing it that long. So, okay. I don't have all my stuff together yet.
But you started a long time ago.
I did start a long time ago, but I did it very half-assed when I first started.
Were you out here?
Yeah. I was in San Diego. But I just would do the open mic at the Palace.
Okay.
And then I would do it for a couple months.
Were you working there or no?
No, I just started working there a year ago.
Okay.
So then I started.
How long ago was this?
When I first went up.
Yeah.
It might have been like 3 years ago.
Okay.
When I first went up. I can't remember, how long ago it was, but it was a long time ago. I remember bombing terribly.
Okay. For a long time?
Just the first time I went up, I didn't remember any of my jokes.
Okay.
And
drunk?
No, I was not.
You're totally sober?
Totally sober. Right. And just was like, I'd never really done that before and I got nervous and I was like, I went up there and the first thing I realized is like, I don't even know how to hold or talk into a microphone.
Okay.
So this is going to be fun. and then I would start to do the setup of a joke, forget it and go, oh shit. And that would get a laugh.
Right.
And then so I'd do setup of a joke, forget it, do, oh, shit. Then at the third joke, I remembered it, And I was like, I'm doing very well with these all shits. I'll just do that instead of whatever I'd written.
So you just bailed on all of them and just aw shit with Colin Dodge.
Exactly. So then I got off stage and George came up to me and was like, that was great, buddy. Did you do that on purpose? I was like, no, I did not do that on purpose. And so that was like the first time. And then, like I said, I would do really half-assed attempts and stints of going to the palace.
And you would just go to the palace?
Yeah, just the palace.
Did you live near the palace?
Yeah, I live right near Kearny Mesa, in Kearny Mesa area. Okay. That's why I started working there. I volunteered for the festival last year. That's how I got the job at the palace, is because I just went in and I was like, you guys probably need more help with things, right?
Right.
And then, sure enough, a year later, I was still working.
Your dream job was made.
My dream job, yeah. It's just comedy all the time. Yeah.
So you just work at the palace?
Yeah, I only work at the palace.
What else do you do there? Or what do you do there?
What do I do there? I run the sound. I seat people. I do the tickets, run food. Sometimes if Tony and George aren't there, I run the whole club.
Okay.
So I kind of do a little bit.
So you've been a part of the family.
Yeah, I'm part of the family.
Are you going to be in Tony's wedding?
Probably not. I'll probably have to, you know, manage the club while he's getting married.
Okay.
But, I'd like to be. Okay. I would like Zach Miller to be part of the wedding. Like,
he's not part of the wedding?
I don't think that he'll ever introduce, Zach to his wife.
Is the palace going to cater Tony's wedding?
No, I don't think so. No, but they should. Yeah. Just hummus and...
Just a lot of hummus.
It's silly that they won't, because it's still going to be the same food. It's going to be hummus and euros. And,
right.
So why not just do it yourself?
I figured how cheap they are that they would just cater to their own wedding.
Yeah.
That's kind of surprising. That's good. So you got the backdoor show tonight, and then the Wednesday show is every week?
Every other Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's awkward every other Wednesday.
Why is it awkward?
I don't know. It's just hard to, like, it's easier to say every Wednesday.
Right. All right. Well, we got more with Colin Dodge coming back. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide internet. Talk to back and turn it. Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Second segment. So how come you think you weren't taking it that seriously when you first started?
Because I had a lot of stage fright, and I would either not go up or I would I wasn't hitting all the other mics.
Mm.
I wasn't talking to anybody. I wasn't doing any of, like, the work part of it. I was just going up and doing some, like, shitty jokes that weren't very good, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I don't think anybody, people that I've met that I remember from back then, I don't think anybody remembers me as that guy who did that time period. It's like, this is a new person. Everybody was like, who was that when I started doing the open mic?
Right. No. I mean, were you a fan of comedy growing up?
Yeah, I was a big fan. I used to always watch stand-up. I'd, like, sneak into my parents' room when I was, like, 6 years old and just watch Comedy Central all day.
You grew up here?
Yeah, I grew up here in San Diego. I moved here when I was, like, 5 from Chicago.
By yourself?
Yeah, by myself. I was just, like, a very intrepid 5-year-old. And I, I just wanted to see the coast.
Right.
So
you just hitchhiked across the country as a 5-year-old.
Exactly.
That's good. Glad you made it safely.
Yeah, I made it safely. And then, when I eventually got settled in, I moved my parents back out here.
That's
my brother. So.
That's nice of you.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, do you still have family in Chicago?
My little brother moved back out to Chicago. All my cousins and aunts and uncles live out in Chicago.
Okay.
In Michigan and Wisconsin area. That sort of...
Is San Diego the only place you've done comedy?
Yeah, San Diego is the only place I've ever done comedy.
Okay.
I'd like to go out to Chicago and just take a couple weeks and just hit open mics and meet people and do stuff. I have family in Denver, too, so I'd like to do that this year as well.
I heard Denver has a pretty good comedy scene.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well. I'd like to get out there.
Yeah. What gave you the courage to get on stage the first time?
Just wanting to do it and being tired of doing the job I was doing or not.
What were you doing?
Yeah. I was working, I was booking insurance exams, for life insurance policies. And I would call people all over the country and I'd, like, organize when somebody was going to show up to your house to collect your blood and your pee and, like, answer some questions for you.
That was your job.
That was my job. It was, like, communicating with little old ladies in Ohio about, like, I need you to go to this guy's house and get pee.
This guy's house.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they come to you and collect your pee. It was a really weird job.
Did you go to school for that?
No, I didn't go to school for that. It's like a call center job.
Okay.
But
did you have to wear a tie?
No, they were like, we're a fun, casual business office. You know, it was one of those things.
Right.
But it was a pain in the ass sort of job.
Okay.
And I got very stressed out doing it. I used to like yell at my boss all the time. I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm tired of talking about pee with the home people. I want more. I was trying to get a manager position there too. And I was like chasing that down.
Do you talk about? You need feces. And
yeah,
hair
no, then
follicles?
You really get. Yeah, you really graduate. We used to joke around about trying to like prank a examiner and be like, "Look, this is a strange request, but we need you to get semen. We need you to get a lot of it. Like, we need you to fill like a good size mayonnaise jar.
A tub.
Yeah.
Of semen. And you would ask old ladies about this?
No, I just thought it would be really funny about
okay.
it.
Did you talk about this on stage when you first started?
No, I always felt like it's too like
when you have a career like
niche.
That, you
yeah.
don't want to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. I just didn't think people would get it. And then also like everybody at work when I had first started going up would always be like, "Oh, you got to talk about this place." I was like, "Nobody cares about insurance exams and collecting pee."
Yeah,
but maybe I don't know.
You would think.
You would think. Yeah, but then you know, shit.
Yeah. So what got you the courage to quit that job, getting hired at the Palace?
Oh, I didn't have the courage to quit. I was fired.
Oh.
Because I was really aggressively trying to get promotions. And I just like, probably, you know, burned too many bridges trying to do that.
What was the final straw?
I don't even know. I was going up for so many promotions. I didn't get any of them, but there was one that I should have definitely got.
Right.
And it went to this like younger girl. And I was like, I have to like work under this 18-year-old girl now. Like this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I would argue a lot. So they just made a list of reasons to fire me. And
okay.
Let me go.
Did you get a severance package?
No, it wasn't that kind of a job.
Oh.
I didn't even get to collect all the stuff out of my cubicle. Like, I guess because
did you have a lot of stuff in your cubicle at your pee and blood pee, jar?
Yeah, exactly. I had a whole jar that I'd been saving up. But whatever. It was just, it was funny because they had me go into a conference room, told me I was fired, and then they were like, you're not allowed to go back in the office at all. I was like, well, what about all my stuff? And they're like, well, we can't have you go back in the office. And
so they had to escort you out?
They had to escort me out of the building. I was like, this is really unnecessary, guys.
Yeah. I had to do that for a job I got fired after a week.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, we have to walk you out. Because it was at a gun store.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But anyway, it was the weird part was that I had only worked there a week. And I don't really smoke weed, but a few weeks earlier, I ate a pot brownie to celebrate a friend who got a job. And then two weeks later, I get a job and then get fired because I had weed in my system.
That's great.
Yeah. So that was pretty terrible, but it's probably for the best.
What was the job where you were going to sell guns?
It's called the Glock store. It's in Kearney Mesa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like if you keep going past the Palace towards like Terracana, and then that first, after the light, there's like a right turn. If you go down that street, like you're going to Walmart or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
It's in that area.
Oh, so it's like the Glock Palace.
Pretty much.
Basically.
Yes. But I've only shot guns like a couple of times, and that was in boot camp and like during the military. So I don't really know anything about guns.
No, okay.
So I was just wanted a job, and like the first day I was going to quit because I'm a big quitter of jobs.
I always go for the fired route. Like it's so much more.
Did you get unemployment?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good point. Maybe I did. Yeah, I did get it.
Yeah, you get unemployment if you get fired. You don't get it if you quit it.
Yeah, job, see?
Which is stupid.
That is a good point.
Because there's people at Home Depot that got fired for, like, stealing, and they got unemployment. I gave my 2 weeks' notice like a good boy, and no unemployment.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's pretty dumb by the government. yeah. So, yeah, there's been times where I've been on interviews and knew I didn't want the job, and then would just fuck with the person.
Really?
Yeah. Because when I first moved here, like, a lot of the Craigslist jobs you think would be legitimate sales jobs, but they're like selling pee and blood to people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like,
yeah.
There's like a job that I went to and it was like, yeah, you're a paper salesman, which basically meant you go business to business and try to sell people paper.
Yeah.
And like, you would have like working interviews and I'd be like halfway through the interview, I'd be like, wait, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to sell paper to people that this is a paper store. They have paper.
So, yeah, exactly.
I would just walk out and she was like, no one's ever done that. And I was like, well, I'm not going to waste my time.
Yeah. I'm not selling paper too.
Yeah. So you were on unemployment until you got work at the Palace or do you have?
Yeah, I was on unemployment until I got work at the Palace. Started working at the Palace in February. So a year ago.
Okay. So, but you kind of got the job because you were kind of doing comedy and hanging out or?
No, it was because I worked at the festival that year.
Okay.
And I worked the door. So I already knew how to work the door and I just needed a job and I lived in the area. So I walked in there and asked if they needed help. And it was right before Valentine's Day. So they needed somebody to do a ton of stuff.
Okay.
So I just, that's when I started doing everything at the Palace. But yeah. So then I started hosting the open mic at the Palace in like June, because Hugo had posted that he wasn't going to make it and that Bijan was going to be the host. And then Bijan came in and was like, I can't host because I have to go do this. And I was like, I'll host.
Okay.
And then now.
How do you like hosting?
I love hosting.
Okay.
The open mic is a bit more of an ordeal, but like hosting a show is fun.
More specifically, how do you like hosting the open mic?
Yeah. It's a little bit of work. You know, you got to run around, let everybody know when they're next.
Right. And the pressures of people wanting to get up.
Every week, there's always like a batch of people who are like, I need to get up because I'm doing Night Stalker. Back in the day, it used to be, I have to go host at Madhouse. I have to go do this.
Okay.
So.
But now you don't get as many requests?
Now I don't get as many requests. Or there's less justification for the request when they make it. But still just the Night Stalker thing, probably.
What's Night Stalker?
The show that Gordon Downs does at Till 2.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know it was called Night Stalker.
I think it is.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay.
But yeah. There's usually comics that are on that lineup that want to do the open mic for 3 minutes for some reason.
Right.
And then do that, and then.
Do you feel more confident like telling people no now that you've been doing it longer?
Yeah, but at the same time, it's just usually what do I care? Yeah, go. You can go. You know, I usually give people less time.
Okay.
When they push me to get them up.
Has anyone actually got on your nerves to say, hey, I'm not putting you up?
No. Usually what people get on my nerves are like really new people who act really confident and cocky. And those are the people that bug me the most.
You get that a lot at the Palace?
Yeah, because I think the show up, go up thing, and it's sort of a safe room, you know, like I think that we get a lot of people who are going up for the first time also, because I don't think like with the store in Madhouse, you have to call, and then there's the bucket bucket at ACC.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a lot of people will go up for the first time at the Palace, and a lot of them are great, but every once in a while, there's some guy who's just cocky and arrogant and thinks he's Justin Timberlake and then dances up there and tells you that he's supposed to get 5 minutes because he bought a steak.
Right.
George told him. So.
Okay. Is he in a dog costume?
No, he's not in a dog costume. Okay. But no. That guy I love. That's fantastic.
George loves him too.
Yeah.
Because he buys a steak every week.
Buys a steak
every
week.
That's why George loves him.
Yeah. So if you want the quickest way into George's heart is buying a steak.
Yeah. So buying anything.
Buying anything.
All right. Well, we got to go to break. We got more with Colin Dodd coming back. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back, third segment. So what pushed you into really taking it more seriously now?
I guess because I really didn't have anything else going on. My girlfriend had broken up with me. So I was just like out all the time, able to do it more, and I wasn't going to school. So I was like, if I'm gonna, I need to do something,
right?
At least full ass, because I do everything else half-assed.
Okay.
So,
what about working at the Palace? You do that half-assed?
It depends on the day. Sometimes I'm really on it, and then sometimes I don't know. I'll get
not so much.
Just hang out with comics and,
yeah,
and not do work.
I mean, what's the normal week for you?
Well, like right now, it's usually like, you know, I work every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Palace.
Okay.
And then I book the Second Wind Navajo Live show every week.
Okay.
So then I'm usually booking that on Mondays and you know, on my days off. And then the show with Bijan, that is also on Wednesdays. And then the open mic, like, that's basically my whole week. And then maybe I'll squeeze an open mic on Monday. But usually I don't go out on Sunday because it's like I'm exhausted from working at the Palace all week.
Exhausted.
Exhausted. The Palace is draining.
Yeah. Mentally draining.
Mentally draining. Yes. Like, and then also, I don't know, you just watch it a whole week of comedy.
Right.
You know, every night.
So has it affected kind of your writing when you're working so much and then being tired on the days off?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's why, like I only really, like, I don't have a lot of minutes, like, or that I really like, and then I burn minutes that I used to like, you know, so it's not.
How much time would you be comfortable doing?
I could do 10 minutes. I could probably do 15 minutes now, but, it's like, but I like my older stuff again. For some reason, I was just tired of doing it. But a lot of it was really, personal stuff tied to my girlfriend breaking up with me. And,
was that a tough breakup?
Yeah, it was weird. It wasn't a tough breakup. It just like happened.
How long were you guys together?
10 years.
Oh,
yeah. So
it just happened?
Yeah, it was 9 months ago. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so then
what prompted that?
She's really successful and good at things, and I do this.
Okay. So. I can see that pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was her choice?
Yeah, her choice. She was moving to Orange County because she works in Orange County.
Okay.
And I was like, that's a good idea. You know, you'll move in Orange County. We'll still date and all that. And then... she was like, okay, yeah. And then right before she moved, she was like, you know, we're breaking up, right? I was like, oh, fuck.
So if you moved to Orange County, would have stayed?
No, I wasn't going to move to Orange County. Right. I was going to stay here.
Right.
I moved to LA at one point while we dated in 10 years, and we stayed together. Okay. I just sort of assumed it was one of those things.
Okay.
But it was not. And, but then, so that's. That was what motivated me really to start doing stand-up more.
Okay.
Is to be good at something.
Did you feel pressure that she was, because I dated a nurse who was pretty successful, and yeah. I felt pressure on myself to do more stuff. Did you feel that at all?
Yeah, but I wasn't good at it. I was trying to go to school, and I was just, I'm really bad at school. And then as you get older, it's even harder.
How old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay.
So, you know, being 30, or at the time I was like 29, and being in a class with like 18-year-olds, right, and having to deal with teachers. And
what were you studying?
Journalism, media-centered writing. So like,
well, that's a waste of time.
That's a waste of time.
That's what I got mine in.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Media studies with a concentration in writing.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So it's working out, right?
Yeah. And a minor in business and theater.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
College is shit.
Yeah, college is shit.
Especially for fields like that.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. And then so like I'm like I said, I was really bad at school. I was working.
What does that mean? I'm bad at school.
I don't go sometimes. I never do any of the work.
Okay. I think you're bad at life. I think you just don't try hard.
Yeah, that might be.
So it has nothing to do with school. It's your it's behavior. Just,
yeah,
you choose not to be good at school.
My dad used to say that I was afraid of success.
Okay.
And I don't think that that's true.
No.
It's a stupid thing to be afraid of.
Have you had good sets and after you're like, oh, that was awful?
No, I feel good after good sets.
Okay.
I think I'm aligned properly with
okay.
that.
Have your parents seen you perform?
Yeah. My dad did one time.
How was that?
When it was for the competition this year at
the Madhouse.
At the Madhouse. And my dad got very drunk beforehand.
Okay.
Heckled. And talked during a lot, like knocked over a table in the back. Right, and this isn't even the worst part. So then he's like, he's really drunk. And he's talking to people. Like, he goes up to Dustin Nickerson. And it's the first time I ever met Dustin.
Okay.
He's like, what do you really love? Like, what do you love?
When he's off stage?
Yeah, when he's off stage. It's just like.
I didn't know if he walked up to the stage.
It's just like, it's so like, I was like, hey, Dustin, I don't think we've met. I'm Colin. This is my dad.
And yeah.
He's already like, what do you do? What you love, man? Just do it.
And did, like, you ride together?
No, he met me there.
Okay.
And so I was like, I knew he was drunk when he walked in. I was like, oh boy, this is gonna be fun. And then, so that's not even the worst of it yet. Yeah. So then the competition ends and they do the people who are, you know, in between while they do the right. voting. And my dad is tired of it. He's like, I just want to see who won. So he goes up on stage tries to take the microphone.
Jesus.
And I was getting like annoyed with the whole thing. So I was outside and I came inside and I see my dad on stage. I'm like, no. And so I ran to the middle of the floor in the madhouse. I'm just like waving my hands. I'm like, no. I realize he can't see me because of the lights.
Yeah.
And then Dave Callens takes him down. I was like, oh my God. Oh Jesus. I was in the competition. So like all the other things about being in the competition.
Right.
I should be thinking about, instead of thinking about my dad's about to get kicked out of the madhouse or arrested. So I take my dad aside. I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, he asked me to come up there. I was like, there's no fucking way that he asked you to come up there.
Who was on stage?
I don't even remember. But somebody during that week, luckily it wasn't during the competition.
Okay.
Cause that would have been, I would have felt horrible.
Right.
But so then, Dave Callens comes up to me and he goes, hey, is that your dad? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, don't bring him next time. And I was like, oh, I got through. But then I was like, oh, I have to get my dad out of here.
Right.
Like immediately. So, yeah.
So,
my dad has seen me do comedy before.
Does he remember?
He thinks fondly of it. I don't know if he really remembers it.
Have you banned him from coming to other shows?
I haven't banned him. But I wouldn't. I don't know. I don't know.
You wouldn't advise him to come
again?
I
don't think he's allowed to come to a competition again.
Okay.
But maybe Dave was just joking. I guess.
So when's your next round date?
2 weeks from now, I think. The 17th.
Okay.
I had one of the first dates in the competition and then one of the last dates in the second round.
So it was like 4 months?
Yes, yeah, 4 months in between. Because there's
October. They won't remember your dad by now.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be good. Just grow a mustache. Like, yeah. You'll never recognize him.
I think that's one of the crazier parents see you for the first time stories.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a blast. We went out after the competition with some friends of mine and we were drinking and everyone's like, man, that was really good. And I was like, yeah, but my dad though, like that's insane. They're like, stop thinking about that. Couldn't stop thinking about it. That was the worst thing I've ever seen anybody do.
Because you're still kind of new, so
yeah,
that was
exactly.
Probably your first impressions with a lot of people.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, that was the first time I met Dustin. And
so what does he truly love?
I think it's comedy.
Comedy, okay.
Yeah.
Not its kids or his
Not
wife.
Not its kids, it's
or his
comedy.
Religion.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, good to know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
How do you feel about competitions?
This is my first one, and I wasn't going to sign up to do it, to be honest. Because I thought, with as little as I've been doing it, it's like, it would be arrogant to think that I was going to win.
Right.
So I was like, I'm not going to do it. And then, Cameron Dyson talked me into it. He's like, it's just minutes. So I was like, yeah, that's true. So,
right. What would you be happy advancing to?
I'm happy as advanced as I got. Really.
Okay.
The next round is, I would be happy if I got wild card. I guess I'd be disappointed if I didn't do, you know, at least get the wild card next round.
Okay.
But I would have assumed I would have lost in the first round.
Okay.
But
do you feel extra pressure when you do a competition?
Yeah. I think, yeah, you have to. But I feel pressure either way. Like, I still get stage fright. I still get nervous. Even when I'm hosting the open mic
at the Palace,
it doesn't go away.
At all? It's the same as when you first started?
Yeah, same as when it's a little better, but I still get antsy. And it's like, I'm going to go do this. You're like, talk in front of people, or what am I going to say? And I know what I'm going to say.
Right.
But I don't know.
The way I approach it, and I always have done this, is just think it's always going to be bad. So then if it's good... Hey, it was good.
It was good. Yeah.
But if it was bad, you're like, I thought it was going to be bad anyways.
I think that's about the way I approach it. I think I'm like, but I think that that's what gives me anxiety is like, this is going to go bad.
Yeah.
You're going to forget everything.
I just expect it to go bad. So
yeah.
It's just easier that way. I mean, were you competitive in anything else? Were you, did you play sports or anything?
I played a little basketball, but I didn't play in high school. I didn't do anything competitively in high school. I was like very anti-competition in high school, I guess.
What did you do in high?
Music.
Okay.
I played bass.
You mean like a band?
Yeah, I was in a band and with my buddies, and then I did jazz band and concert orchestra. Like big upright basses.
Did your band play anywhere? Or was just...
Yeah, we used to play at Lestat's actually, which is what I always think is funny. I've never done comedy over there, but I've performed at Lestat's.
Okay.
To do, you know, high school band shows.
That was the only place you guys didn't tour or anything?
No, it's just in high school. It was like 2 years that we were in a band. And
did the band go up to Orange County? That's why you guys broke up?
No, yeah, exactly. Everybody breaks up with me and leaves for Orange County. That's my life.
That's your life. That's gonna be tough. Do you guys still keep in contact?
Yeah, we do. Okay. Me and my girl, or me and my bandmates?
Either one.
Yeah, both, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, we got only one more segment. Got to think about what you want to talk about. But we got one more segment with Colin Dodge coming back up after the break. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. Be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Final segment. So you're kind of talking about you're having a tough time writing. Do you ever set time down to write?
No, not really. I sometimes do. I'll usually just bang out something that I've already thought of and try to write it out.
Okay.
Fully the way that I might say it. And then just perform it a bunch of times and try to hone in and see where there's lulls in it. I don't usually punch, depending on what it is that I'm trying to get across. Like, I don't always punch it up with a joke. Sometimes I'll just tell what it is, what I need to tell.
And then say, oh shit, at the end.
And then say, oh shit, at the end. Yeah. No, but like when I talk about my ex, I'll usually not punch that up with like a bunch of jokes. There's a couple or whatever.
Right.
But it gets people listening and paying attention. And then I can do like stupid jokes about Facebook after that.
Okay. So you try to be honest on the start?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It just has usually worked effectively. I've done bar shows like when I'll do that. And then I'll realize everybody in the bar is actually listening. And then I'm like, oh, I wish I was funnier because like I've got your attention at least.
Right.
But that's what I need to work on is just more jokes and just write stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And just get braver in performing and doing more open mics.
Do you question a lot of the stuff you write?
Yeah, I do. And then eventually, like, I'll get tired of doing it, or I'll hear somebody do something that joke about Girl Scout cookies, even though it's not like my joke, it's touching on a lot of the things and it's way better. So it's like, oh, I'm going to have to burn that.
Yeah.
And then that is one of the things too. It's like, I wish I would take something that I started on and then really work it out until there was a lot of material on it.
Right.
Because sometimes I just have one idea and I think of it as one idea, but then I'll see somebody take that same idea and then just expand it so much. It's like, oh, why didn't I think to
right.
do that?
I mean, when I first started, what I've been trying to get myself back into doing is writing a joke front and back of a piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
Like skipping like every other line.
Okay.
And then so that way you get as much as you can out of that idea, and then you'll condense from there. Or if there's other stuff, you can write it in the extra lines or things like that.
That's
one way that works for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I went a lot of years of just thinking of a premise and then riffing about it on stage.
Yeah.
And what happened with that is that it wasn't really memorable as much because it would be different every time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that's why I'm trying to establish material again that I do over and over again, because I'm the same way. Like, I write a lot, but I get tired of my jokes quickly.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing, too, is because I don't write a lot, but I host the open mic, and I host a lot of other shows, and I always do, you know, riff off of something that happened in the show in between those.
Mm.
So, like, that's what I like doing more than the written stuff,
okay.
Even my own written stuff.
So. Do you do, like, crowd work at all, ever?
Yeah, some crowd work. But usually not when I'm doing my set. I wish I was more comfortable doing that when I was just doing an 8-minute spot. But when I'm hosting, it seems easier because you you win them over a little bit more. And you sort of are the one in control and saying what the rules are and what the rules aren't. So you can sort of pick on this guy or do that.
Right.
I enjoy hosting a lot. I prefer it to doing a spot.
Okay.
If I did crowd work, maybe I would like doing that just as much.
Right.
I don't know why I don't.
I mean, you kind of talked about being new. Do you have goals to get outside of San Diego at some point?
Yeah. I would like to try to go outside of San Diego. But L.A. just seems like, just the city itself seems like it would be such a shithole to live in.
Yeah.
And then New York would be cool. But that seems like it's such a difference between California and New York. I like living in San Diego.
Right.
I've lived here a long time. So,
what's your immediate goals right now?
I don't know. Just to keep doing stand up and try to make do as many shows and make money producing shows and try
to make a little money producing the shows.
Yeah, I make a little bit of money off of a couple of the shows I produce.
Okay.
So it's just keep doing more shows like that. Get better, get paid to do spots. I guess I just want to be able to live off of doing stand up right now. Mm-hmm.
You kind of are.
I kind of am. Yeah. But it's about keeping costs down. Right. When you don't have an apartment or a car.
Where do you live?
I live at Becky Knowles with Eric and Becky sometimes.
And Dan lives there?
Dan Bublitz, yeah. Dan actually lives there.
Okay.
I'm a squatter. So
to get Dan pays rent?
Dan pays rent. Yeah.
And you don't pay rent?
I don't pay rent.
Do you have a lot of debt?
No. I just I know.
Being a nomad.
Yeah, I just have been. You know, I was in a relationship for 10 years, and now it's I guess I got nothing to give a shit about. So.
Yeah. So where do you, if you don't stay at their house, where do you stay?
Other people I work with.
Okay.
You know? I stayed at Yazzie's.
Okay.
You know?
Could be homeless in L.A., you know.
I know. That's one of the things that I've been considering. I really have. I could be homeless in Chicago. I could be homeless in L.A. I could be homeless in New York.
Yeah.
You know, I really have nothing to prevent me from doing anything. And it's actually kind of freeing.
I think in 20 years, you're going to be watching your son do comedy drunk in the audience.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting on stage.
I can't remember who said it, but you remember Tommy Broom?
Yeah.
Back when my hair was getting longer and this beard was getting better, they were saying that Tommy Broom was me from the future, who was coming by to prevent me from what I was going towards.
Well, things are going well. It seems
exactly. Things are going really well.
Well, we're coming up on the end. What is the worst show you've had so far?
I think probably the worst show that I did would be when I did open mic at ACC. I was very drunk. And
You did it?
No, I just had been out with my brother and I was drinking and decided that I was going to go to ACC.
Okay.
Then I decided I was too drunk and I was going to go, I was going to leave. And so as I was leaving, somebody runs up and goes, "Hey, you were called next." And I was like, "Well, might as well go do it." And I don't even remember that. It was a blackout after that. So that was probably a bad call.
Right.
A lot of people said that was very funny. A lot of people said that it was very sad. So I imagine that was the worst set. Yeah. And then I guess the best was probably...
Well, you said it was a tie between two.
Oh, the tie between two was that one. And then the Seedless show that we did was fun. But it was horrible because we were up on a roof.
Okay.
And there was an audience of stoners.
I think someone else talked about
that. Nobody was paying attention.
And started 4 hours late or something like that?
I don't know. I wasn't even going to be on it.
Okay.
I just was hanging out with Eric and Dan and Matty Mike gave me a spot.
Okay.
And, but performing, because I have stage fright and a fear of heights, and performing on a roof to a bunch of stoners who weren't paying attention was
not ideal.
Not ideal.
Okay.
But it was, everything else about that show was fun.
Well, that's good. So what's the best show?
Probably the competition show. I had a really good set, and it was the first time people would come up to me and told me that I had a good set.
Did it kind of feel good that your ex was there to kind of validate that, hey, what I'm doing is not a waste of time?
Yeah, it did. It did help. That helped. My dad did not help. But, yeah, it did. She was going to bring more friends. And like I said, I talk about her in the act too.
Right.
I don't really say anything too bad.
Right.
Usually just make me look sort of sad and pathetic.
Yeah.
But,
do you claim for her as being your ex, or do you say my girlfriend?
No, I say my ex, because it's a joke about when we first broke up and, having a bad dream.
Okay.
And she thought it did well. And I was like thinking that this was going to give me something, but it didn't help out at all.
To win her back, you said?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But she wasn't into it.
Well, you tried.
I tried. I did everything I could.
Yeah. So you on Twitter or Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. It's at Colin Dodge.
All right.
And Facebook, however you look up people on Facebook. Your / Colin Daniel Dodge.
I think you just search Colin Dodge.
Yeah, exactly.
So they can catch you
every other Wednesday at the Comedy Palace, and every other Wednesday at the Second Wind.
How's things at the Second Wind? I haven't been there in a while.
I haven't been there in a while either, because I hear it's been getting better. They're promoting it now, so it should be good.
All right, we'll check them out tonight at the Backdoor Lounge at the Comedy Palace. You're listening to WSRadio.com. We're all in here. Talk to you back. Bye.